Live from the Panera Studios, it's the Reading with Robin show, brought to you each week by my friends at Panera Bread, where it's food as it should be. It's where I go to begin my day. There's nothing like that first cup of coffee in the morning. It's also where I go to meet up with friends, and sometimes I even run into a book club. Panera is the perfect place to host a meeting. Everyone's happy with their extensive menu, from the delicious soups and salads to the sandwiches and flatbreads. And don't forget the takeout. The summer months are coming, and who wants to cook? You can order ahead, and your dinner will be waiting for you. That's all at your local Panera Bread. And now, enjoy the show. A Paris All Your Own. It's out now. Best-selling women writers on the City of Light, edited by Eleanor Brown, who's one of my favorite writers. She's the New York Times best-selling author, international best-selling author of The Weird Sisters and The Light of Paris, two of my favorite books. She lives in Colorado, and I'm thrilled to have her back on Reading with Robin. Welcome back, Eleanor.
Thank you so much, Robin. I'm happy to be back.
It's such a treat to have, I mean, that's what I was, Eleanor and I had a little chit-chat off air, and The Weird Sisters is one of those books that has stayed with me for all of these years, and people, one of the things I love about having a returning guest on is to be able to say, if you didn't read The Weird Sisters, go grab it, and if you didn't read The Light of Paris as well. We did an interview for The Light of Paris, and the story comes back up again in your story. This is such a gorgeous book, and everybody is going to want, I mean, who doesn't want to talk about Paris? So let's talk about Paris and how this idea for this anthology came up, because an anthology is not easy to sell. I don't know if readers know that. It's not such an easy trick.
It's not. It's definitely not. So what happened was, when I was writing The Light of Paris, which is a novel about Paris, I was looking around and I was thinking, there are so many books about Paris. And if you read my contribution to the anthology, you'll see that I had sort of a mixed experience there.
That was very very brave of you to talk about Paris.
Well, I'm not the only one, which made me feel better. But
correct.
So I was just looking around at all of these books, you know, The Paris Wife and Kara Black's mystery series and, J. Courtney Sullivan's The Engagements. And I was like, what is it about Paris? And so I went to other best-selling women writers who had all written books about Paris, and I basically asked for their personal stories, because most of these women are novelists, so they're writing fiction, but I said, I want to know what it was like for you. And my publisher, thank goodness, was like, yeah, we want to know too. So
I love that.
I went ahead and put it together.
Love that. Were there any authors that weren't available? Did you get all the ones you wanted? That's one of the things with the anthologies. And I am a huge fan. That's why I say I know they're hard to sell. And anytime one comes my way, I just get very excited. And it's packed with some of my favorite writers.
I mean, it's fun because you can get other people's perspectives, right, instead
yes.
of one single person's perspective. And it's also, I mean, it's really fun. It's short stories, I feel like, are not loved the way that they should be, because there's something about something bite-sized, right, like those two-bite brownies they sell, where you can just pick it up and dive into it for a little while and then walk away. But I was thrilled. Everybody who is in here is amazing, and my hope with some of them is that, you know, you might come to it for Paula McLean, but you're going to discover Michelle Gable, or you come to it for, you know, J. Courtney Sullivan, but you'll discover Maggie Shipstead through it. And that's the other thing that's really interesting about an anthology, is it's an opportunity to meet new writers.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of my favorite things. I remember reading Ann Hood's Knitting Pearls or Knitting Yarns, and there are, you know, the authors that you know, and you're like, oh, another, like a little, you know, maybe we're waiting for their next novel to come out. So it's like, oh, it's a little hello from, you know, Courtney Sullivan or somebody. You know, I love Courtney, so I'll mention her. But then you learn about, like just as you're saying, you learn about new authors, and you think, oh, this is a great little short story here. Let me see what they're working on. And I'm speaking with Eleanor Brown about her brand new anthology, A Paris All Your Own, best-selling women writers on the City of Light. And you can visit Eleanor's page at Eleanor-Brown. Is it? Wait, it's .com? I always remember.
.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Eleanor-Brown.com. Yes, I always remember that. Yours has, somebody must have taken your name without the hyphen, I'm going to guess.
Yes, a photographer in Texas.
I do remember that. I I do remember that. So visit her at eleanor-brown.com. Find her on Facebook and Twitter and on Instagram. And you can, if you have missed The Weird Sisters and The Light of Paris, you are in for double treat. So you go back and you don't miss those, because those are Reading with Robin faves. So your story is called Failing at Paris, which is a really great title. And talk about that, and also, you know, your trip there and learning about your grandmother's letters, which is part of, you know, The Light of Paris, which I love so much.
Sure. So the Light of Paris, which was the novel I wrote about Paris, came about because I discovered that my grandmother had lived in Paris in 1923 and 1924. And not only that, but we had all of the letters she had written home when she was there, which was such an amazing thing to discover. So I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to write a novel about this. So I set off to Paris, armed with my grandmother's letters, and I had this whole list of all the places that she visited and mentioned in her letters. And I found when I was there, it was this really interesting experience, because travel teaches you so much about yourself. And Paris, the reason that I wanted to focus specifically the book on one city instead of a number of cities, is that I feel like Paris, more than any other city in the world, is a city that has expectations attached to it, right? I say Paris to you, and you have this flood of images that comes to mind, and it really evokes a kind of feeling. And you picture yourself there, and you don't picture yourself there, I don't know, you know, walking around in the rain, or, well, no, you might picture yourself walking in the rain, but it'd be romantic rain, right? Romantic rain. Everything in Paris is romantic. You picture yourself walking along, and you've got a scarf, and you're walking along the Seine, and maybe you're sitting in a cafe, and you're, you know, you're writing poetry or something. But, you know, Paris is a big city, and Paris is inflexible, right? Like, it's just going to go ahead and keep being Paris. And I went there, and I had this itinerary of all these things I was going to do, and Paris just did not cooperate with me. it insisted on continuing, you know, to go on the way it has for hundreds of years. And so
Imagine that.
It would not bend to my will. So, you know, and I really felt like a failure a lot of the time. It was like, what is wrong with me that I am not falling in love with the city the way that countless other people have? You know, the way that my own grandmother had when she went. And so it was this opportunity for self-examination. And what's fun about A Paris All Your Own is that there are writers in there, and these are all nonfiction pieces. So there are writers in there who, like me, had kind of a mixed experience there, mostly due to our own expectations. And there are writers, MJ Rose has this gorgeous story about this sort of romance, this illicit romance that she had in Paris. And Meg Waite Clayton, who's the author of The Race for Paris most recently, has a fabulous story about all the wonderful places you should visit. So it's the whole gamut. There's people who had a wonderful time in Paris and people who had a terrible time in Paris and everything in between.
And that's the thing, like I said to you when it arrived, I was thinking, it's time to go back. And just this morning I was reading on Facebook, it was Amy Terracotch has a blog, and she was talking about traveling and the worry of, you know, sadly, terrorism what we connect with it now, and how she's going regardless and her children are not happy. So I was just reading that this morning, so of course I sent her a little note and said, do you know this book, A Paris All Your Own, best-selling women writers on the City of Light? So I think I have to send her a copy. Just because it does sort of bring up those feelings of travel and mystery and wandering and, you know, the stories behind all of this history. And it's funny you mentioned, I loved Meg's piece, and she talks about being there in 2012, and that was one of the trips I was on, and she and I actually were trying to connect. We didn't. We were sending messages back and forth, and she was writing her book. Here I was interrupting. I'm like, you're here? I need to see you. And I remember her talking about writing and the gardens and the green chairs and the whole thing, and just reading her story brought that right back. It was, you know, a little personal connection. But that was 5 years ago, and it was like, I just remember we just kept missing each other. And funny enough, Courtney Sullivan was also there on one of the trips, and she was doing a reading.
I forget where in Paris. I think it might have been another trip. I loved Courtney's piece as well. Did you read Saints for All Occasions, her new book yet?
Yes, it's fantastic.
Loved
it's fantastic.
That book.
She is a great writer, and her contribution to the anthology is just really beautiful. There are a couple. Courtney and also Susan Vreeland, who's the author of Luncheon of the Boating Party and
right.
Girl in Hyacinth Blue,
right.
who writes about art. The two of them write about sort of the people of Paris and the stereotypes that come with that, and yet they've managed to make these really beautiful friendships with Parisians, and that's really wonderful. And it's funny, you're talking about how, you know, things in the essays reminded you of your trips. And that was one of the funny things to me, is that a lot of people talk about the same places. And mm-hmm. if you've been to Paris, or if you've read a lot about Paris, you know, you're going to recognize the Luxembourg Gardens or the Eiffel Tower, of course. But people have such different experiences in these places and such different things to say about them. And then
also
you have the people like Lauren Willig, who's a wonderful historical novelist, or Kara Black, who writes mysteries. And they both talk about going to the Paris police headquarters.
Yeah, that's not someplace you would expect to necessarily go.
Right, no, and two of them. Like, what are the odds?
That you picked, of all of these authors, that you had two that had a little bit of experience with the Paris popo. Yeah, that is really
exactly.
Nice. It's unexpected.
That's, I mean, that's kind of fun. And again, you get 18 different people's experiences, so you get things like that in their, you know, undiscovered places that like you were talking about wandering with travel, you know, places that people stumbled upon that you might have missed.
And the thing about that is you have to then when you're recalling it, the trick when you're traveling like that is to either take notes, because you'll think you'll be able to find something again, and that can be really frustrating. I was just here 2 years ago. Where did they move that? Where did they move that street? Where is that falafel in the Marais? I know it was just here. And I think that's one of the things when you have all of these authors contributing, you've covered so much ground, and the stories, some of them have a familiar feel, then there are things that are unexpected, and the way that some of these stories really complement each other. So did you know you didn't really know what you were going to get when you asked these writers who write about Paris and their fiction, really?
Yeah, I had no idea, and I was also really vague with them. I basically said, I just want to hear a Paris story. So I didn't tie them down to that at all. And so you have, I mean, so Maggie Shipstead's piece, for instance, is really lovely. She spent some time there on a grant, basically, while she was writing her second novel. And so she's there. This, the other thing is, like, she's there in winter.
Yes,
and Paris in winter is a very different place than, say, Michelle Gable and I were there in summer. And that really affected how we saw it. Ellen Sussman lived in Paris for a few years, and her piece is so gorgeous.
I'm a huge fan. Yeah, I love Ellen's work.
She's fantastic, and her essay in this is just so good. It's kind of about the breakdown of her marriage while she was living in Paris. And so you don't know what you're going to get, and it was really fun putting it together, because I had to think about, you know, what are the order I'm going to put this in? And that was really fun to think about the diversity of experiences people had there and how I wanted to tell that story as the book together.
Well, there's nothing like giving an author that kind of an assignment. Tell me about Paris. It's like if you give an author an assignment, you know, give a mouse a cookie or whatever.
Right.
Give an author a baguette. See what you wind up with. And you talk about Maggie's. I loved Seating Arrangements and also Astonish Me. I was wondering, is she working on a new one? Not to put you on the spot, did you get any inside scoop? Is there a new Maggie Shipstead on the way? I love her.
You know, I don't know. She's been doing a fair number of articles. She actually was very funny trying to get this essay coordinated with her, because she was on, like, a research vessel in Antarctica.
Of course she was.
Visiting penguins. I know. And she's like, I now have the school to see all the penguins in the world.
Wow.
So I don't know, but on the tour for this, I'm appearing with her and Jennifer L. Scott, who's the author of the Madame Chic books. I'm appearing with them in L.A., so I'll ask Maggie what she's
up
to.
See what you can get. See, tell her the penguins are cool and all, but I would really like to know. One of the pages that are one of the dog-eared pages was from her story, where she says, a sense of purpose distinguished my solitude from loneliness, even protected me from it. I had chosen to be absorbed by my work, to encounter the city on my own terms, to retreat into myself. So she talks about the difference between being alone and being lonely, and this neighbor who... Well, I won't give anything away, but I'm like, couldn't you have been a little bit more gracious to the neighbor? I'm a people person. So I'm like, really? And she was there for a while, but I just loved it. I really enjoy her work. And you have Jennifer Coburn in here. And of course, her awesome memoir, We'll Always Have Paris, about her. That was one of my favorites too. I loved that book of hers and talking about her trip with her daughter,
And it's so great because her memoir is about her trip with her daughter, and then her, in this essay in A Paris All Your Own, is about her trip with her mother. And I love that kind of book ending. And, you know, if you have aging parents or you've been through that experience, her essay is just like a punch in the gut, and yet so funny because Jen is hilarious.
She is absolutely hilarious.
Love,
and you're doing an event with her as well, right? Is there one out in California?
Yeah, San Diego. Yeah. Okay. Jen Coburn and Michelle Gable and Susan Vreeland and me. So it's four authors, which is super fun.
You don't always get four authors together. That's a really big deal. And I would think when you have your events, do they have them sort of chalked with like a Parisian theme, or are they put, I mean, they must, it's just lends itself so beautifully to food and wine and all of that, music.
Oh, it does. Yeah, the San Diego one is with Adventures by the Book. And so that's
I love her.
French restaurant, yeah. And then Chevalier's in Los Angeles, they're doing wine and cheese or something like that. So, yes, it's a good thing to show up to a book signing and there are, you know, macarons and wine.
Everything. Oh, that's exciting. I didn't realize it was with Adventures by the Book. I love Susan, and she and I are cooking something up at some point, some East Coast, West Coast thing. Yeah. So if you're listening, Susan, I know I haven't forgotten. We need to get together on that. And your publisher is so kind to be offering copies of A Paris All Your Own and also The Light of Paris. So email robin@readingwithrobin.com to enter a contest. I'll also post it on Facebook. They were very generous with that. So I'm very excited to be able to share more Eleanor Brown. Of course, I'd like to throw in The Weird Sisters at all, but I wasn't given that directive, so I won't.
Think we can probably arrange for that. How about all three? How about the Eleanor Brown collection?
The Eleanor Brown collection.
Paris All Your Own.
Thank you. Reading with Robin loves to make the audience happy, and again, such a fan, and I love, you know, anything that you're working on. So when this arrived, and I'm telling the book clubs, I mean, this is such a great book club pick. Everybody will sit around, either they've been or they want to go, because who doesn't? And then you can read these stories. And that, one of the things that I do love, like you were talking about, bite-sized brown. Well, I'd rather have big brownies, but because if I do those bite-sized things, you wind up opening all the packages, and then it makes damn brownie anyway.
Yeah,
I don't get that. And then there's all this paper. But as far as an anthology goes, it is so satisfying to read a story or two, and as you were saying earlier, to discover new writers, because I don't think I've read everybody in here. Paul McLean, certainly. Megan Crane.
Megan Crane is super interesting. So she's two people. She's Megan Crane, and then she's also Caitlin Cruz. And under Megan Crane, she writes sort of contemporary women's fiction. She used to write chick lit. And then Caitlin Cruz, she is this incredibly prolific romance writer. And so there were a handful of things. You know, when I was trying to collect the authors for this, I wanted to hit a number of different genres, right? So I have historical writers, and I have, you know, mystery writers, and I have memoirists, and I have nonfiction writers. And I knew I wanted, I'm like, I'm writing about Paris. I have to write, I have to get a romance novelist.
Absolutely. You have such a wonderful collection, and that's not so easy to do, really, to keep it diverse, but then you've got a central theme, so there'll be crossover, but you have, and one of the things that I don't think I've ever seen in an anthology is, in addition, obviously, to the bio, you have their information, which is so important so that people can go to the websites, like the Facebook pages, and really learn more, and then also which are the books, and then you have favorite Paris moment and different things like that. So I think it really makes it very personal. And go to Eleanor's Facebook page if you haven't liked it yet. Shame on Vu. Like it. And follow her on Twitter and on Instagram. I always mention that at my events. Readers should know how much that means, the Goodreads reviews, the Amazon reviews, going to the website, sharing books from your favorite authors with your friends. It all matters, and that's one of the things, you know, certainly on Reading with Robin and in my daily life. Well, my daily life is Reading with Robin. It really doesn't. This is what you get. So that's what I do.
I was just going to talk about that. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's that opportunity for connection. Mm-hmm. You definitely like my Facebook page because I give away books all the time.
You have really fun. Go to Eleanor's Facebook page. Absolutely.
But I did, you know, when I was putting together the anthology, very often what will happen is they'll have, you know, the essays all together, and then in the back they'll pile all the biographies together.
Yes.
And I actually got the idea from Meredith Moran's anthology, We Write About Ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. I had her on. I didn't remember that she did that. Shame on me.
Yeah. It's like a short, so she did a shorter version, but basically what I did, so you'll read A Paris All Your Own, and at the end of every contributor's essay, there's sort of a page and a half of how to contact them, what books they've written that are related to Paris, and then also they answer some questions, you know, kind of what was their favorite moment in Paris, what was their least favorite moment in Paris, what should you do when you go to Paris, what should you skip when you go to Paris, because I felt like this is, again, a lot of these people are novelists, and so the opportunity to connect with them as people is just so fun, and I really wanted to give readers the opportunity to do that. And there was a point at which my publisher, I think maybe the design people were kind of cranky about that, and they were like, no, biographies must go at the end. And I said, absolutely not. The whole point is to put them with the essay so that you can discover these new writers and connect with them.
Otherwise, you get to the end, and I read acknowledgments. I read all of it. I read the whole book. But
I
when you're
too,
reading,
yeah.
And yeah, but when you're reading the essay, and then you've got the info right there, chances are you'll flip. You'll go maybe to the Facebook page. You'll follow somebody on Twitter, check out their Instagram, because you're getting a little taste of the author, not in their fiction world, right? So you're getting like this real life story, and then it's just immediately interesting to want to get more of that brownie. So then you go to their website and you see what's going on. Do they have a new book coming out or what's happening? So I'm really glad you dug your heels in and you want it all to come together, and marketing has their idea, publicity has their idea, but it all starts with the author. And you have Teresa Ann Fowler here. She, of course, is the author of Z. And talk a little bit about her story.
Yeah, so she's another one of these people talking about expectations, and it was funny. So, you know, we've had these a few huge books about Paris recently.
Yeah.
Paula McLean's The Paris Wife, Teresa Ann Fowler's Z, a novel of Zelda Fitzgerald, which is now an Amazon TV series. And so both of them wrote those books before they went to Paris, which I think is so interesting, because I was like, oh, I must go and research first before I write this book. But, you know, I mean, think about Paula McLean, you know, writing that without having been to, you know, to see where Hemingway and Hadley lived. So
that's amazing. I did not know that. I just figured that's the best part of the gig. Like, we must go and see. We must conquer.
We must go research it. Well, they were both able to go afterwards, but it's interesting.
Sure.
And so both of them write about sort of following in the footsteps of these people that they had written about. And Therese Ann Fowler, you know, writes about Zelda Fitzgerald and herself both trying to escape themselves and, you know, Paris being this place where you try to escape yourself, but you can't, because wherever you go, there you are.
There you are.
So hers is really beautiful. And the other thing that's funny is I was thinking about, like, yes, these are all nonfiction pieces, and many of the authors in the anthology are fiction writers. But what's interesting to me is that I feel like the voice and the tone is so similar. So Paula McLean's, you know, essay is just as elegant and smooth as her fiction writing. And Michelle Gables is just as bright and funny, and Susan Vreeland is just as sweet and romantic. So you still get MJ Rose, you know, it's like you feel like you're reading a novel when you read MJ Rose's essay.
And that's, I think, why when you have an anthology of writers, it's the best. I mean, can't even imagine how much editing there. I mean, obviously you've edited and it's how you've organized it and all of that. But those are the best people to ask to write it, you know, because there are anthologies where there are different people from different walks of life who will write a story or whatever. But when they're writers, any anthology with my favorite writers, like, people should really check out some of them. Every once in a while, I'll do a post about my favorite anthologies. So I feel a new post coming on, because those are just ways, like you say, to discover new authors, but their writing is, you know, that's why, like, if an author has an article in one of the magazines or the newspaper, I always want to read them, because their writing is just so gorgeous, and the way it flows, it, you know, it's kind of like, it might as well be fiction. And who knows? It just might be.
With the editing, I didn't usually have to do, you know, much editing for language. It was usually conversations about content that came up.
So of course,
Julie Powell is a great example of this. Julie Powell, the author of Julie and Julia, over the moon to get her, because she hasn't written, you know, anything in years. And she agreed to do this, and we just had a lot of conversations about what it was that she was going to write about. Because at first she said, I've been to Paris, but I don't really have anything to say about it.
Really?
And, know that, and then go look at her essay, and you will laugh, because she has so much
of
to
course.
Say about it.
That's hilarious.
Essay is just gorgeous. Yeah. So it was kind of these conversations about where is your story and what is your story. Paula has this great story about going and trying to photograph all of these places where Hemingway stayed, and she has camera problem after, you know, missed layover, and it's hilarious and sad. But she and I had a conversation about it when she was in Colorado. We were driving to Steamboat Springs together, and we were talking about kind of what does that mean when you cannot photograph something. It's like you cannot ever capture the experience, right? You can take a picture of it, but it does not capture the experience. And that's this whole metaphor for her essay. So, so it's beautiful, beautiful stuff in there. And I'm really, really excited for people to read the anthology and connect with all these great writers.
Discover
the wonderful and the terrible. It's all combined. And that's why Paris is such a rich city, and why, you know, I was able to get 18 different perspectives on it. You know, it's just, there's so much there.
There really is. And it's a treat to share it with the audience. And email robin@readingwithrobin.com for your chance to win a copy of all three, Paris All Your Own and The Weird Sisters, The Light of Paris. And we'll post this on Facebook, of course. And check out this gorgeous anthology and learn about some writers that you might not know about, and more wonderful books to put on your list, because there's never enough time, but we always want to have a huge list so we're not missing anything. And before I do let you go, what are you reading this summer, recommending, loving?
Oh, my goodness. So I actually just read, and right now I'm reading a young adult novel called Grace and the Fever, which is fantastic. I read Kevin Wilson's The Family Fang, which came out a few years ago, and he has a new novel that I'm super excited to read now. But The Family Fang was amazing. Touch by Courtney Maugham was really interesting.
I love that.
And then also, of course, it's summer. What would summer be without Ellen Hildebrand?
It would be nothing.
Her latest, The Identicals, is one of her best, I think. It's really, really fun. So those are a handful of – oh, and Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. I just read that, and I thought that was great as well.
Isn't it? I know.
Yeah. Reading streak right now.
You really are. That's some good stuff. I know. I feel like I've been reading some really great stuff, because if it's not great, I put it down. But the ones you all mentioned are wonderful. And Courtney Mom's coming to read at Point Street Reading Series on July 18th. And I actually hosted her at Bryant Park a few weeks ago. I love Touch. That was a real treat of a book. You have good ones here. And I will post those as well, because everyone wants to know what the authors are reading. I mean, that's another one of the – that's the best thing. What are the authors reading, everybody?
Well, like you, I am always happy to recommend books.
That's the best. It's such a treat. And to speak to you, Eleanor, I look forward to – oh, my God, I haven't met you. I feel like I have. Got to meet you one of these days. I'm just
one of these days. I'll get out there. Yeah.
I know that way. Or Colorado is a wonderful place to visit as well. So either way, at some point, and I wish you a wonderful summer filled with reading. And everybody, pick up a copy of A Paris All Your Own, best-selling women writers on the City of Light. Visit Eleanor-Brown.com. Find her on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Eleanor, happy summer to you.
Happy summer, Robin. Thanks so much.